Blog Talk Radio.
To the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services, by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was the director of medicine at the Bay Pines VA Medical Center and the Bay Pines VA Hospital. Dr. Carroll practices in Brandon, Florida. And if you have any problems with anything in life, please don't take it out on your neighbor. Don't take it out on a police or fireman. Please call a professional. A professional like Dr. Carroll at 813-689-2466. Her offices are located at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue. And if you're having an idea of someone moving out of the house because they're going to college, or if you're having some kind of a downsize or upsize of your real estate, think of the Weikert Real Estate Company, and especially the Joe Giordino group. Joe has a group put together of professionals that will help you move, make your move much smoother, much easier, and less expensive. Give Joe a call today at 941-876-8877. Well, guys, it's been a big night tonight. Some amazing news this week with flying chickens.
Oh yeah.
I you know, what do you have to do just to get your name in print?
But you know what? I think they were more just being pranksters with Deontay Wilder, him being over in Belfast, and you know Billy Joe Saunders being buddies with Tyson Fury, you know. And Billy Joe Saunders is a prankster. You know, they threw some chicken at Tyson, Deontay Wilder and his crew, and they ran out the restaurant with some members of Deontay's entourage giving chase. It really was just really, you know, just kind of good-natured ribbing in a sense, because it seems all fair play and fun in regards to the promotion, because the fight is official. It will happen, Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury. So the promotion has begun, so to speak.
Yeah, so I understand it's probably going to be in November now. I just saw a release came out late last night that they will be facing off each other. In November they're going to fight. But then, of course, with Deontay getting into the war of words with both Tyson and his father at the weigh-in, that just added another happy note to the thing. But how do you think that fight will go today, Ty?
Well, you know, I tell you, I've always said it, and I'll say it again. Tyson Fury has the style to absolutely give Deontay Wilder fits with his length and his movement and his agility. With that said, the form Tyson Fury showed tonight, he's not quite ready for Deontay yet. He's just not there yet. He still needs a lot more work. But, again, once I see the fight, once they both get in the ring, once we see the weigh-in, see how Tyson looks the first round or so, then we'll know. We'll know, because if Tyson in form, he just stylistically will give Deontay a lot of trouble. It's just that Deontay has that dog in him where he's going to land his shots. And if he lands that right hand, it could be curtains for Tyson. So,
sure.
It's a fight that could go either way because of the specific strengths and weaknesses of both men. But I just don't know if Tyson Fury's rounded fully into form to where he can pose the threat to Deontay Wilder that he would have been able to pose had he not had his 3-year sabbatical.
Yeah, you brought up a point there that has been in my crawl here for the last week. I'm trying to fathom. Keith is going to come off an 18-month layoff to fight next month. And, you know, I know it's still a TBA as far as the opponent's concerned, but, man, that just scares the hell out of me that he would be going back in after that length of time.
Yeah, rumors were that the fight might be against Jose Cito Lopez, which to me would be a very, very that would be a very, very tough fight coming off an 18-month layoff. I mean, Jose Cito has seen better days, but he's still a quality fighter. And, you know, in spite of, Keith's tremendous ability, skills, and, you know, tremendous skill set, coming off an 18-month layoff, to fight a guy as qualified as Jose Cito Lopez is no easy ask. So, you know, I just hope Keith is healthy. Hope he's still hungry and ready to go. Obviously, I don't think he'd be taking fights if he wasn't. So, you know, Keith is a smart guy. So, he doesn't step into situations that are self-defeating. That's one thing we know about Keith. So he's stepping in with that level of competition, then that's the level of competition he feels he is quite ready for. So it'll be interesting to see. Very much looking forward to his comeback. Keith, because of his absence, is right now the wild card in the welterweight division. Everyone's talking about this upcoming Sean Porter-Danny Garcia fight.
Right.
Everybody's talking about a potential Errol Spence, possibly Terrence Crawford fight down the road. And Keith is the one guy who has the best resume at the welterweight division right now, having really clearly beat both Sean Porter and Danny Garcia.
Let's go to our technical expert here, Mr. Technician. You want to break down these fighters as you always do?
Yeah, well, Keith, I like Keith, and Ty is absolutely right to where Keith. I mean, when you look at it, he has the best resume so far.
Mm-hmm.
But with Keith, it is a double-edged sword. Keith, to me, he's the best stylistically to me. When Keith is healthy and he's sharp, he's the best stylistic matchup to give anyone trouble. Just because mm-hmm. he uses his feet, and he has the power that you have to respect, that you're not going to run up on him crazy. As you've seen with Sean Porter and Danny Garcia, he was able to handle two basic style differentials to where mm-hmm. he calmed them both down essentially enough for him to be able to manage his feet.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, Keith is in, it's a double-edged sword because he's in a predicament now to where he has to get back healthy and sharp. And to gain both of those forms is going to be difficult, especially now that the welterweight division is in such a great demand. You're having all these guys come out, you know what I mean? And right now, it's kind of like Keith, kind of has to get on the ball, to be honest. He does need to take a little bit more tune-up fights. I think maybe two more tune-up fights just to make sure he's healthy and sharp.
Sure.
Before he takes on a level of guy like a Porter again, or a Garcia,
mm-hmm.
or definitely a Spence, anybody of a high quality.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, Keith, he's a scary guy. He's simple as that. When he's on his
mm-hmm.
game, healthy and sharp, he's a scary guy. But it's scary
mm-hmm.
because he has to get back to both of those points to be that guy.
Right.
To me.
Right. Brady?
Last time he fought, which was Garcia, he came off a really long time. But it's not like 18 months, but he's a confident guy, and I think if he trains hard enough and he has enough tune-up fights, and he spars enough, and he gets in the gym enough, I think he'll be able to win, because
mm-hmm.
he's determined, you know.
Mm-hmm. Good. The other question I had tonight, we got Devin Alexander. Brian Jennings against Alexander Dimitrenko in Atlantic City, and the undercard of that is Jesse Hart against Jason Sosa. I guess let's start out with Ty. What do you think about the Jennings-Dimitrenko fight?
I've never thought much of Dimitrenko since he was stopped by Eddie Chambers
mm-hmm.
several years ago. And Brian Jennings, since he's been stopped, since he was stopped by Luis Ortiz, he's just been kind of treading water. You know what I mean? He's kind of stagnated. I like that he's being more active. He just, fought Joey DeVecco. A few months back, now he's right back in the ring against Alexander Dimitrenko. So I think for Brian Jennings, what's more important for him is to stay active and to stay relevant. I like that he's fighting in the Boardwalk close to home, making a brand for himself. I think that's what's important. But again, where the winner goes in the heavyweight scheme of things, again, they're just treading water right now with this fight. It's a stay busy fight for both guys. This is much more of an opportunity for Dimitrenko because of Brian Jennings' status, the stature in the division. But if Brian Jennings wins, then it's just keeping him busy and looking for another fight or another stay busy fight or a bigger fight.
Mm-hmm.
But this fight is not something that's going to push him ahead in the rankings or create a mandate for a title shot. It's more about staying active, staying busy, and you have to be ready and relevant to fight the top fighters, and that's what he's doing right now.
I thought this was one of Cornflake LaMotta's fights that he put on, but it's not. I talked to Bernard Fernandez earlier in the week, and he's covering this fight, and he said that it's one of Kathy's fights, Kathy Dubas' fights. So I didn't know that Jesse Hart was working with
her. I thought it was top rank. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was top rank, Zita. I'm thinking because I want to say that. Well, I thought the press, the media day credentials we had were, I think, from top rank.
Yeah.
I could be wrong now.
It's interesting. But what do you think on the Bryan fight, Z?
Well, Demetrenko's a big guy, first of all. He's a big guy. With that said, Dye has a point as far as he was stopped by Eddie Chambers. Eddie, as good as a boxer as Eddie is, he's not known for stopping. So Demetrenko, he's a knockout loss on Eddie's record. Bryan Jennings is a harder fighter than Eddie. I'm not saying he's a better boxer, but he is a harder fighter than Eddie. So he's going to be throwing, he's going to be landing harder punches. He's going to be making harder physical contact.
All right.
So with that said, it just depends on just angles, cleanliness, how things are going to go. The fight could end up being sloppy. It could end up being very clean. Which way it could go? I predict Jennings that kind of outworked Demetrenko. Maybe a late stoppage. I think it'll be exciting though. Jennings, he's going to come to bang. Jennings works hard. He sometimes is hittable, but he'll use his jab to get inside, definitely against Demetrenko. He'll use his jab to get inside, rip the body, and come back to the head. He'll get inside, he'll continue to stay there and work. And depending what Demetrenko will give him, I just see Jennings outworking him for the most part, probably to a stop.
Good. Hey guys, we're joined by Dr. Chris. Chris, we're talking about Bryan Jennings and Alexander Demetrenko tonight in Atlantic City. Do you have any thoughts on it?
Who? Lemoshenko, the featherweight?
Oh, no. The big guy. Demetrenko. Bryan Jennings.
Oh. I thought you were going to say I didn't know them. They're both the same names and are close anyway.
Yes.
Jennings is the. When's the last time he fought?
He fought a few months ago against Joey DeVecco, actually, Dr. Chris.
Was it January or February? One of those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, I don't even. I must have missed that one. I don't remember that fight. How'd it go?
He won a decision over Joey DeVecco.
I don't remember. I'd have to.
Okay.
I gotta say I don't know much about him.
Let's move on to the Ty. What do you think of Jesse Hart versus Jason Sosa tonight?
I tell you. Here's the thing. Sosa's a certain level competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of guy that, Jesse Hart's supposed to beat.
Right.
And it's the kind of fight where, Jesse Hart is holding his position because, he is, right in the mandatory, rankings for getting a shot at a rematch, I should say, with Gilbert Ramirez. And that's who he's been calling out. So this is one of those fights where it's a hold position kind of fight for Jesse. But the thing is, though, is Jesse has a tendency of making fights that should be easy a lot more difficult than they should be. And with that said, I think this could turn into a pretty good scrap tonight. I favor Jesse Hart. He is, the bigger, fresher athlete. But with that said, I wouldn't be surprised if it turned into a dogfight where Jesse had to survive some rough moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jesse's heart. Jesse's talent should win him this fight, but his heart may lose him the fight. It's as simple as that, and that tends to be the story with Jesse. Jesse, he can dominate fights to a point, but every fighter has holes. including Jesse, but he has so much talent, too.
Mm-hmm.
With that talent, though, he has that dog in him, and he'll get pulled into a fight that he necessarily shouldn't get pulled into,
mm-hmm.
to where he'll stop moving his feet. He'll stop, you know, dominating from the outside. He'll stop using his speed and quickness. You know, he'll try to slug it out. I mean, sometimes you kind of want to stick with the plan. So, and all too often, Jesse, he'll get lured into a battle with heart and the battle of wills. And, you know, so, as I say, this could be a pick-em fight, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a pick-em fight. It's all on Jesse, to be honest.
Chris?
Are we talking about Cyclone Hart's son?
Yes.
Jesse
Hollywood Hart. Yes.
Is he Cyclone Hart's son?
Yes.
From Philly?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, he got off with a big name in the beginning. I really mm-hmm. haven't seen him that much to have a strong opinion about him. But when I did see him, I wasn't over impressed, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. What's his opponent like?
He's a
what
scrapper.
What kind of opponent does he have tonight?
He's a scrapper.
Well, I'll have to take your word on it. You guys say he got a little bit of dog in him. Then a little
yep.
bit, you know, sometimes he doesn't have the heart. I like that's common. So, I'm going to be a bystander tonight and just watch it.
Uh-huh.
What's it on? Showtime tonight?
Yes, I think it's on HBO.
HBO,
yeah,
okay.
On, no, I'm sorry. It's
make
on
sure
ESPN,
watch,
at 10,
yeah.
ESPN at 10 o'clock.
Okay, I'll make sure I watch it.
Yeah.
By the way, did you guys see the poor performance that the Russian put on against that mediocre puncher? I mean, he got knocked out with a right hand. That guy can't break an egg. And I'm talking about the light heavyweight.
Kovalev.
I haven't talked to you guys.
Oh, Kovalev.
That was
Kovalev.
We haven't talked to you. Kovalev. That was an awful performance.
Alvarez, not Kovalev.
He's the only guy that carries his left hand so low, he's asking to get punched in the face by a right hand. I mean, he is such a bad defensive fighter. I was in shock watching. I said, who's training this guy? Either that or he just doesn't listen. But you can't go into a ring carrying your left hand so low and your right hand low. He even carries his right hand too low. And his head sticks up in the air.
On
that
the
guy
inside.
Was a mediocre puncher at best and knocked him right out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's done myself. I don't think he can take a shot anymore.
It's like
I'm gonna have to say this. He never was as good as I thought he was. I had a tendency to overrate him because of his punching power. But if you're going to play, have a defense like he's got, you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, just cannot do that. You cannot carry that left hand that low, and just pull with it. I mean, it was an awful fight. Awful fight. I thought, boy, that guy had a broken hand. He had it mended. He hardly ever knocks anybody out, but he took him out like, you know, near the end of the fight with that right hand, and then he knocked him down very easily after that, and now the ref stopped the fight. I was a lousy fight, I thought. I just can't believe that a trainer would not be able to change him some. Unless, either that or, like I say, he might be one of those guys that just doesn't listen.
Yeah.
You know?
Brady, you had something
just
to say?
Play them around. Yeah.
I think it all went downhill after that. He fought Andre Ward, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Andre Ward blew his cover. Andre Ward exposed him.
It all went downhill after the Andre Ward fight.
Yep, I stripped his armor.
Well, he was exposed. He was exposed in that he wasn't a tough guy. You know, I heard the announcer, like, going back a year and a half ago, this guy's meaner than Sonny Liston and in the ring and meaner than Sugar Ray outside of the ring, and I'm hearing all this stuff. And, man, he's neither of the two. Neither. I was so disappointed in that fight. But, you know. And then, but I'm not familiar with what's going on tonight. I just have to draw a blank on that one. I see Seiko and Harv's son's fight, but I tell you what, I mean, he's not his father. He doesn't have the punching power and different kind of fighter. Different kind of fighter. So I don't know. I'm gonna have to go with whatever you guys think. So, any other big ones coming up?
You just missed Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
I haven't heard too much. When's Lomachenko fighting again? Do you know?
No, I don't know anything about Lomachenko.
Lomachenko's coming off a shoulder surgery. So, he's coming off a shoulder surgery. So what's going to happen right now is he was going to be fighting Beltran. They were going to unify lightweight titles. But Beltran is now defending against Jose Pedraza. The winner of that fight will more than likely fight Lomachenko, possibly in December, once Lomachenko's fully rehabilitated and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Do you think he's going to need a tune-up fight?
No. No, not at all.
Beltran or Pedraza is a tune-up fight.
for not at all. Exactly. And I don't pick Pedraza to win, so.
There's another fight tonight that we've seen to be skipping over in the last couple of weeks because I forgot all about it. Was Carl Frampton is in the ring again tonight with Luke Jackson. What do you think?
Vito and I just finished watching that fight.
Yeah, how'd it go?
He put a hurting on. He stopped Luke Jackson. He beat him with bell to bell.
Yeah, we're very professional. We're very professional.
There you go.
It looked like a pro against a guy who not quite as pro. Not quite as pro in the physicality total. Not as much as, you know, you can see the physicality in the bodies as much as you can see the physicality in the body language.
Mm-hmm.
One guy came out and said, you know, I'm this level. I'm going to make you feel this level. And he went out there and made that guy feel that level. Simple as that. And the body language told from the start until he ended the fight.
Good. Ty?
I mean, Luke Jackson's a tough, you know, good, solid pro. But he's just not Frampton's level. And Frampton, because of some things that Luke Jackson has said and because Frampton's last few performances have been considered uninspired by the media. He came out looking to, you know, just show that there was a gulf in talent and skill between he and this kid, and to put on a show in front of his hometown crowd and to stop this kid, and he did. He beat the kid up for 8-9 rounds, however long it took for him to for the kid, the Jackson's team to throw in the towel. So he looked good.
Yeah, and Ty and I were observing that Frampton's normal style of his feet moving, using his jab, getting in, rambling off. He sacrificed all of that. He sacrificed his jab. He just came in hands mostly kind of down. His right was up a little bit, but his left was down, waving a bit. Came in and feet very solidly planted, just power punching. Power punching, combination power punching, opening them up, throwing to the head, and then landing hard to the body, landing back hard to the head, just doing a beautiful job of breaking his man down. It kind of disrespectful, to be honest with you. Not really kind of either, but very disrespectful from the opening. Just a different level of disrespect. Not disrespect like just a skill kind of disrespect. Like, I'm a different level than you. I'm not going to respect your skill. And he came out there, you know, the hurt game with it. So.
Good. You know, I know one of your...
Frampton is a damn good boxer. And he fights all 12 rounds. I mean,
yeah.
he is in there for the whole trip. I mean, he doesn't.
Yeah.
He goes to 12 rounds. He's as good in the 12th round as he is in the fifth. And he's relentless. I think he's very impressive myself. This other guy's got to be damn good to beat him.
Well, no, he already won. The fight happened earlier because it was in the U.K., so, you know, they're on the time difference. Frampton already stopped the guy.
Oh.
But as we were watching the fight, I told Zito, God darn it, I forgot what I was going to say about Frampton. What did I say about Frampton during the fight, Zito?
Which part?
I don't remember. I was just – you guys go on. I forget. It'll come back to me.
Yeah, but I just remember that Frampton, as far as anything goes, Jackson put up – he showed he was tough. And he showed that he was sort of resilient. But he just couldn't adjust to the physicality difference. And he couldn't adjust to the skill level. When Frampton wanted to hit him with certain things, Jackson couldn't stop it. Jackson couldn't stop it. And when Frampton wanted to amp up the action, the activity, Jackson couldn't really stop it. So, and Jackson landed some good shots. He threw some good combinations. He did some good work in between. But a lot of the work wasn't very secure, should I say. Wasn't very planted foot. It was a lot of retreating work. A lot of kind of get off of me work.
Mm-hmm.
So, he put...
Oh yeah, I recall my point. It was kind of piggybacking with Dr. Chris. You were talking about how good Frampton is. And one thing I was saying when I was watching the fight, I kept remarking to Zito, I kept saying, you know what? One thing about Frampton is he has game. You know what I mean? He just has he has game. He can kind of do it all in the ring. You know, whether he does it all perfect, I'm not saying that. But he's a guy who has it all. You know, he can do a little bit of everything. And he's got tenacity, and he's got mean spirit to boot, too. And he's a guy who just has he has the game. He has the game. And, what happened was he stepped in the ring with Luke Jackson, and he literally stepped in the ring and basically from the opening bell said, you know what, you don't have the game. You don't belong at this level. And that's how he treated that. I'm calling Luke Jackson a kid. Luke Jackson's 31. But the way Frampton treated him is he treated him like a disrespect. And, you know, and he spitefully beat him down over the course of the rounds. That's what happened.
Watch Frampton fight over many fights and everything. He's a guy that has what you call that winner spirit, to where no matter who he fights, you're not going to beat. He'll fight Santa Cruz. I thought he lost both fights against Santa Cruz, but both fights were very close. And in both fights, you saw him adjust. Both fights, you saw him, you know, dig down, have to dig and fight back, and you have to do things. The guy, he's a winner. He, at heart, he's a guy who's a winner. He's a competitor. So wherever he's, first of all, he's going to come in prepared. You see that he's going to come in prepared, ready to fight whoever he's going to fight. Then he's willing to adjust. So he can go ahead, and if things don't go a certain way, he'll go ahead and adjust and curve his game plan, or, you know, maybe even amp up. So, and then the guy is willing to go ahead and bang it out. The guy is scrappy. He's tough. So, he can incorporate different plans. He can use his feet to box. He can also go ahead and get in there and kind of tough it out. So, you got to appreciate Frampton because he's a guy, as Ty said, he has game, but in the course of it, he has an overall, like, kind of a psychological thing, too, to where he has the physical, he can do it physically, but he also can kind of mentally do it, too.
Yeah, he's a pretty impressive guy when he fights. I like him.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, we got another
anybody
guy
hear
back.
Anything about the welterweights coming up? Anybody hear anything about the what's going on in the welterweight division? What's our man doing?
Keith, you mean?
The champ, the local guy.
Keith Thurman.
Is he waiting for a fight?
Yeah, he's,
Keith.
He's, he's waiting for a contract for October.
With who?
They're just they haven't announced it yet. I was trying to try on the phone to get a hold of Dan. Yeah, no, they have an opponent. They're just waiting for the contract to be signed. I talked to Dan earlier in the week, and I just tried to call him a few minutes ago when we were off the line to see if anything has come up yet. And he hasn't. He wasn't available, so I'll keep after that before we get off the air.
Yeah, okay. All right. It's all right, then.
Yeah. We have
I'll actually see some good fights. I haven't seen any. I mean, that Kovalev fight was a disappointment. I thought that was terrible. So, this is the time of year when fights get good.
Mm-hmm.
And, I haven't seen much. I haven't seen much.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who I'm keeping an eye on. That Russian middleweight that never stops fighting. He makes 160 real easy. He's a small-shouldered guy. Not a big chest, not a big powerful guy, but he never stops punching and never stops fighting. I'm trying to think of his
Sergey
name.
Derevchenko? Sergey Derevchenko?
He's a Russian.
Derevchenko?
He never stops punching. Never. And he's a rough guy. The middleweight.
Yeah,
one
might
weighs
be
about one. Yeah, I forget his name all the time. I get so damn mixed up.
And you're talking, if you're talking middleweight, that Sergey Derevchenko, he's about to fight Danny Jacobs very early. In November.
Okay.
And then November 11th?
I wasn't sure of the exact date, but yes.
Yeah.
And they're fighting for the IBF, the vacant IBF title that Golovkin was stripped of for not defending against Sergey Derevchenko.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ty, one of your other former fighters that you used to follow, Guillermo Rigondeaux, is ready to come back. What do you think of that one?
I'm a big fan of Rigondeaux from a skill set standpoint. From a career decision-making standpoint, he's had ups and downs. I don't think he's made some of the best choices. So to hear that he's going to come back more active. He's getting a little long in the tooth, specifically at 122. But with that said, he's a marvelous talent. He really is, whether we recognize it or not, one of this generation. That's what's going to be good to see him ply his trade again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seems to have kept a very low profile after he lost a sixth rounder to Vasily Lomachenko.
Well, it was his first professional loss. He was kind of embarrassed. He was embarrassed in that fight, quite frankly.
Sure.
He made some excuses. A lot of people think he quit. So obviously, he may have taken some time off to reassess some things. It may have been hard for him to get fights based on the fact that a lot of people didn't want to fight him before because, he's just so, damn talented. But the fact of the matter is, he is still the number one rated guy at 122. And until he's beaten at his natural weight, he lost to Lomachenko two weights above his natural weight, two weight classes. So he still is the undisputed guy, even though not the undisputed champion, but the undisputed number one guy at that weight. So to get him active, there are still some good fights out there. So it'll be interesting to see what management does with his career. That's really his most drama.
There was another quote that I saw this week. Oscar De La Hoya thinks that Mikey Garcia is barking up the wrong tree, moving up to challenge the IBF champ Errol Spence. What do you think of that one, Z?
I think that that's right now. That's where the money is. That's where the money is. If that's where the money is, then you're barking up the right tree. Mikey Garcia is he's not stupid. He can go ahead and fight Lomachenko, but let's be serious. Right now, Lomachenko would be higher risk for less reward. Not necessarily saying higher risk health wise. Just as far as win and loss wise, he could lose to Lomachenko just as easily as he could lose to Spence. How he could lose, I think, you know, Spence would hurt more, but still, the loss would be the loss. Spence would be more money. As simple as that. Spence right now, he's welterweight, he's a bigger name than Lomachenko. Mm-hmm. Lomachenko is, he's a big name, but as far as marketability at this moment, Errol Spence is the man at welterweight. So you that's where the direction that you would go. So, Mikey Garcia is not stupid. And, I mean, Mikey's a competitor. He's a guy that, I mean, he can make 147, I'm pretty sure. He's a guy that, you know, he would go up there and he would put on a good performance. Not saying he would win, but he would go up there and he would go up there to compete. He wouldn't go up there to just, you know, earn a paycheck. Mikey's a guy who would go up there and do his best to win. And that is what you would ask for. That's all you can ask for a fight.
Mm-hmm. Ty?
Well, you can't blame Mikey Garcia for taking that fight. Just what you said, that's where the money is. He's already won several titles, and I think the most he could ever do is the welterweight. He's not that tall that he could go any further. So he's got to fight top level welterweight. So I think he makes 147 real easy, because we just moved up not too long ago from 140, and I like this fight against that tall lightweight. He actually outboxed that guy and gave him a good lesson. And it's tough to bet against Garcia because even though he's only maybe 5'8", 5'7", he fights taller guys well. Keeps his hands high, got a good defense, he's hard to hit. You know, and I like the guy, but I mean, picking him over Spence, that's going to be tough. I don't know if I could do that. You know, I don't know if I could do that because Spence being left-handed, I think could give him a little more trouble than he thinks. So
style-wise, I have one major issue with Mikey Garcia. Style-wise, boxing fundamentally, period. And that is his lack of going to the body. Mikey Garcia does a wonderful job of getting people to guard their head, and then he keeps going for their head. He doesn't commit to the – he committed to Robert Easter's body and made Robert Easter pay attention, and then he failed to go back to the body. Mikey Garcia, and I see him, he does that. Like that's a career thing with him. I think he has so much room to commit to the body more, and he leaves it open. He's a headhunter. He's a little too much of a headhunter to me, and that leaves, you know, anytime he needs any openings, that's a weakness. I'm sorry, that's a weakness to me. So I'm sorry, Dr. Chris.
Well, he carries his hands very high, very high. It just seems like he's fighting against taller guys. He carries high, and his left hook to the body is not effective. It's the third punch in his combinations, but it's more of a slap. I don't like his left hook to the body off the following the right hand. But he does throw the left hook behind the right hand, but it's never effective to the body. I watched a couple of times. Yeah, he doesn't commit to the body. He doesn't turn that hand underneath and dig into the liver at all.
Nope, doesn't
he twist, slap
twist with it. Yeah.
So, it'll be a good fight. It'll be a very good fight. There'll be a lot more boxing than you think.
Yeah.
Spence has he'll stay there till he gets an opening. He's not gonna risk getting tugged, and neither will Garcia. They're not gonna risk getting tugged. I mean, they know they got to win the fight, and they'll mix it up. But I don't think you're going to see a sloppy fight. I think it'll be an excellent boxing performance by both guys. And in the end, I think I picked Spence, even though I hate to bet against Garcia. Hate to bet against him, but I don't think he can beat Spence. Right
Spence
now at 47.
Yeah, nah, not at 47.
Spence is a bigger, stronger guy.
Yeah.
Bigger, stronger guy. And Garcia's only been one or two fights up from 140. He hasn't buffed out yet. And he hadn't put 7 pounds of muscle on. Put it that way. Spence already has it. So we'll see what happens.
He has to put 7 pounds of muscle on and fought as somebody with 7 pounds of muscle on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's already there.
Yeah. You know, guys, we failed
so we'll
to. We want to. Last week we failed to announce, but we're going to make sure we do it this week. Is that Leila Ali joined her dad in the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame last week, and we want to say congratulations to her and all her fans. She was a tremendous fighter, a tremendous athlete, and a tremendous parent, as I understand, as well as a excellent attorney. So, congratulations to her.
When you first said. When you first said Leila Ali joined her dad, I was about to say, what the hell? I didn't know Leila Ali died. Because that's the first thing. Leila Ali joined her dad, and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did read that. Too. Yeah, I did read about her induction, yeah.
That was tremendous for her.
Wonderful.
Really, Brady, you remember that big red house that I took you past on up in Overbrook Park in Philly when we were up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's where she lives.
Oh, where Ali used to live?
Yes.
Where Muhammad Ali used to live?
Yep. She lives in the same house that he had when he lived there back in the 60s and 70s. Yep.
That's awesome.
And,
Is that where she lives in Overbrook?
Yeah, you know where St. Charles Borromeo is there on Overbrook and city line in Lancaster Avenue. You make a left, head back into town, and down a block and a half on the left-hand side, and about the 2900 block is where she lives.
Okay. I wasn't sure whatever happened to her. I haven't heard much about her. I haven't seen her. You know,
well, she was a magistrate there in Pennsylvania, in the Philadelphia Magistrates Court. Yeah.
Because all the women that are fighting now are in the MMA, and there's some nasty ones in there.
Yeah.
But Ali was she was a picture boxer and a pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got Cyborg, you know, who never won any movie star roles, you know, and she just fought the girl that the left-hander that beat what was her name? The tough girl that tore everybody's arm off.
Ronda Rousey and
that was a good fight. Yeah. It went to five rounds. It was a very good fight.
Yeah.
Cyborg won it.
Ollie Holm was capable. She proved capable, but she wasn't going to be Cyborg.
Yeah. Cyborg.
I got a question for you guys. Who won the Robert Hellenius fight last week?
I couldn't tell you, honestly. And I pay attention to everything, but Robert Hellenius is not on heavyweight competition radar, so he hasn't really been on mine either, so I couldn't really tell you who won.
Well, he came out, he lost the decision. He did finally get the decision. But, you know, he came out with the first round, he was on fire. But then all of a sudden, boom, he went to sleep. Then he woke up at the end of the fight and ended up with a decision. And I thought maybe you guys would have had a different slant on it, but it was one of the ones that really amazed the hell out of me. It's like the Pacquiao fight when he lost it to what's his name, the kid in Vegas. Brain fart day. Yeah, but Chris, I guess you heard about Billy Joe Saunders throwing a chicken at Deontay Wilder. If you haven't seen it, go on Boxing or Fight News or Boxing News, either one, and take a look at the film. It's fun. It's almost like the Three Stooges.
Billy Joe Saunders did what?
He threw a chicken at
what'd he do?
Deontay Wilder last night in a restaurant in Belfast.
Wow.
Speaking of Deontay Wilder, and this one I guess goes to question would go to probably Z. Wilder says that Anthony Joshua will not fight him because he's afraid of him. What's your thoughts on that one?
Well, I don't know. Fighter per fighter, once a fighter feels a certain level, they tend not to be afraid of each other. It tends to be management. So, per se, I don't think Joshua himself is afraid of Wilder. That may be the case, but I don't think so. I think it is his promotion team, maybe his trainers, managers, people around him. Maybe they are a little hesitant. Not afraid as much as hesitant to promote the fight right away, to put them in the ring together at this point in juncture. They've got to get a little more seasoning. They may want to see the other guy get a little more exposed, a little more something that they can use as an edge or something. But at this point, I don't see Joshua himself being afraid. I just see the people around him kind of being a little cautious of putting him in a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm. Ty?
I think you're right about that. That's a good analysis. Anthony Joshua's not afraid of anybody. Why the hell should he be? He's massive, strong. I mean, he's confident. He's beat some good guys. I mean, there's no question that Wilder's a threat. And it's a danger. But sooner or later, you got to fight somebody like that. And it's more the people in the corner that are afraid than Joshua. You know? He only has a few inches in reach on him. He's 20 pounds lighter. So why the hell should you fear why should you fear him? This guy's a massive 245-pound fighter, and the other guy's going to probably come in at 222, 225, and he's going to have all the advantages over him. And like you say, though, the corner, this is going to be as tough as an opponent, and the corner people are afraid, and the ones that are training him, because they don't know really how the hell to train him against a guy with taller and more reach, you know? And I don't think that during the fight, sooner or later, I think Wilder's going to tag Joshua, and I think you're going to see what kind of a – we know he's got a decent chin because that shot that Klitschko hit him with put him right down, but he got out. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think Joshua's afraid. I don't think he's afraid of anybody. If I was that big, I wouldn't be afraid of anybody. Maybe King Kong, Pops.
See, Terrence
maybe
Crawford's
somebody as big as King Kong. Other than that,
Terrence
I wouldn't
Crawford
worry
coming
about
back in the ring, and he's going to fight on October 13th against Jose Benavidez. What's your thoughts on that one? Is that just to keep away from Keith?
That's a light heavyweight.
Yeah.
Are you talking about, that's a light heavyweight, right?
Yes.
The guy that just won the title, good fighter.
Okay, here we are. It's David and Joseph Benavidez. One is a light heavyweight, and I think that's David Benavidez, who's a light heavyweight. His brother, Joseph Benavidez, is a welterweight. Like the light heavyweight, like David, Jose Joseph Benavidez was an up-and-coming prospect, again, kind of being groomed by Top Rank, got shot in the leg in the neighborhood, just some random thing, got shot in the leg, kind of derailed him for, a few months. And so he's kind of, getting back, to where he was at. He's fighting Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford's not avoiding Keith Thurman or anybody, but, we know boxing, so we know there's significant promotional hurdles and issues that prevent certain things. So, Terrence Crawford being with Top Rank, he's not going to be able to fight Sean Porter or Danny Garcia or Errol Spence, at this time. It's just not going to happen. So he's going to fight a guy that's either a part of the Top Rank stable or, something more independent. Benavidez, as welterweight, is part of the Top Rank stable. Thus, that's who he'll be fighting in October in Omaha.
He's going to have his hands full if he's fighting Crawford.
That's for sure.
Crawford's bloomed into a pretty good welterweight. Mm-hmm. That guy's always been impressive. I don't see anybody beating him for a while. You know, he I don't know who this Benavidez. I don't remember the younger brother, but I got to go with Crawford on that one.
Crawford. This is actually the older brother. David, the light heavyweight, is the younger brother. This is Joseph is the older brother. And he's a pretty good fighter. He's a solid fighter. And, you know, again, had he not been shot in the leg, he's a guy that would probably be, you know, approaching contender status right now, title status right now. But he's not a guy I would have picked to beat, you know, any of those, the top, you know, guys. I put him, you know, somewhere along the lines of a Jesse Vargas maybe. So, no, he's not going to beat Terrence Crawford, I don't believe.
Nah, too smart. Too smart a fighter. That guy has an ability to adapt like nobody I've ever seen. I mean, he's his own corner man. When he goes back, he all he got to do is listen to himself. He don't make mistakes. He comes out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He goes back. All he has to do is keep quiet in the corner. Let him do the thinking.
Well, it's going to be interesting now that he's in the welterweight. He has some bigger guys that have to deal with different styles. So he has to deal with Danny Garcia, a guy who can kind of keep it rangy with him. I mean, who has some pretty good timing. A guy, I mean, like Sean Porter, who doesn't mind staying in his chest at all times, forget what he's throwing. A guy like Keith Thurman, who will keep his feet away, and then you can't just step in with Keith because he has pop. Guy like Errol Spence, who could jab his way until he gets to your body. I mean, he has a lot to deal with.
As good as all that sounds, let's talk reality. He doesn't have to deal with any of that because none of those fights are going to happen. It's just not realistic. Top Rank doesn't do business with PBC unless it's something maximizing. So for him to there's no way he's going to deal with all three of those guys as long as he's with Top Rank. What he will do is there's a chance he could deal with the one guy who comes out of the scrum of the three guys, and then a big fight is made. But just for fights like that, those fights aren't going to get made. And you know, I spend so much time reading boxing news, and I read so much, you know, I hear fans' passion and comments about all these fights that, you know, just like let's kind of talk about it realistically. These are fights that aren't going to get made. You know, like talking about Terrence Crawford right now fighting Danny Garcia is akin to Terrence Crawford, Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, it really has not much more of a chance getting made until some things happen. So that's the business side of it. And the fact of the matter is that if Terrence Crawford crosses the street or if Al Haymon crosses the street for a fight to be made with a Terrence Crawford, it's not going to be all the three of those guys. It's going to be the one guy who comes out on top of all three of those guys, and it's a big, lucrative fight to where, you know, Zito was talking about Joshua being afraid. Of course he's not afraid, like Zito was saying. It's risk management. And for, you know, Terrence Crawford, for Bob Arum to have Terrence Crawford cross the street, he's not going to cross the street for a Danny Garcia fight or a Sean Porter fight unless Sean Porter or Danny Garcia is considered the undisputed man at welterweight. So for a fight to happen, that's what it's going to take for Terrence Crawford to have to fight one of these guys, let alone all three of them. That's the reality of the sport.
Oh, yeah, he's not – oh, no, nah, as far as that. But as far as competitive edge, I mean, the rating is – I mean, I'm talking about rating, competitive edge. So, I mean, how's the guy going to be – you know what I mean? You're fighting – how am I going to say this?
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of my gripes with Terrence Crawford. I love Terrence Crawford, by the way. I think he's a tremendous talent, and I think he's just as good as people say. However, how can you rank him so high at welterweight when he's only beaten Jeff Horn? You know, he's never fought a Danny Garcia, and he's not going to fight a Danny Garcia. You know, he's never fought a Sean Porter, not going to fight a Sean Porter. So how can he be ranked above these guys who've campaigned at welterweight for their, you know, the majority of their careers, have won titles, and he comes in and wins the title coming up from 140 over Jeff Horn? I can't rank him above a Garcia or Sean Porter yet. Not saying I don't think he's a better fighter, but he's just not proven at welterweight. And because of the whole Cold War and the way business is done in boxing these days, he won't be proven until he actually fights one of these guys.
Too many rankings are going on the eye test. It's too much stuff going with the eye test.
Not,
I mean, when I see a guy like Keith Thurman and Sean Porter going through the proof of things, you know, that they've gone through, I mean, they fight guys like Soto Carras. I mean, come on now. They fought veterans.
Yeah. Yeah.
They fought guys like, you know, Luis Collazo. You're fighting guys. You just show up to fight Devin Alexander. You're fighting guys who've been in the game. So, I mean, now, and then all of a sudden, Crawford moves up to welterweight. He beats Horn, who kind of doesn't even put up a real good performance, you know. And now all of a sudden, he's a world beater. He could beat Smith, who kind of really hasn't. He beat Kell Brook, who came down weight drained. And
thank
then beat
you.
Peterson, who
thank
came
you.
Back weight drained up. So, I mean, you know, it's kind
what
of.
Makes, what,
I mean,
what
so
makes
my thing is.
It's Terrence Crawford,
yeah, so,
the marquee
yeah,
fighter welterweight.
So,
what
and my thing is, what makes sense to where Spence or Crawford are the top two, to be honest.
Keith Thurman has been out 18 months because he's injured. But Keith Thurman has been out 18 months because of the injury and the things, you know, going on with him. But the fact of the matter is he has the best resume at welterweight. Keith Thurman is the welterweight champion, not Errol Spence, not Terrence Crawford. Keith Thurman, until he was stripped due to injury, was the only guy out there who had unified titles. Keith Thurman has beaten both Danny Garcia and Sean Porter. The only person Errol Spence has beat is Kell Brook. Terrence Crawford has only beaten Jeff Horn. The fact of the matter is that, again, everybody's anointed that, you know, the welterweight, you know, reign to come down to either Errol Spence or Terrence Crawford. How do we know that? I don't know that Errol Spence or Terrence Crawford is better than Danny Garcia or Sean Porter because those fights haven't happened. I do know Keith Thurman is because he's beat both guys.
Exactly.
So the fact of the matter is that the eye test is one thing. You know, the eye test is great. Remember when everybody was talking about Lucien Boutte and how great he was because how great he looked, even though he wasn't in that Super 6 tournament? Then he goes over to Nottingham and gets destroyed by Carl Fox. I don't buy the eye test. The eye test tells me what kind of skills the guy has, and I think Terrence Crawford is tremendous. But welterweight's a different animal, and he's still not proven that welterweight. Errol Spence shows me that he could be a killer for the next few years. But welterweight is tremendous, and he's only beaten one guy at welterweight. So I think that, you know, again, man, I think, you know, we're kind of counting Keith Thurman out a little soon sometimes, you know.
Yeah,
he has
Keith
by
Thurman,
far the
Sean
best
Porter.
By far.
Even Danny Garcia to a point.
Yeah.
And I never thought I'd say that, to be honest.
Well, guys, we
I mean, all those guys have better
got
resumes.
A good chin, man.
Danny Garcia, Sean Porter,
that.
And Keith Thurman have better resumes at welterweight than Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence.
And Errol Spence, yeah.
Each of them do.
Yep. There it is.
So, to me, those guys still have work to be done, you know?
Guys, we're just about out of time here, so... Chris, I want to thank you for coming on. As always, you always have a lot of good information, a lot of powerful information for us, and I appreciate all you do for us.
Okay, guys. Well, are we going to be on next week, Frank?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, then I'll see all you guys next week.
Okay.
We'll have something to talk about. We've got a couple of good fights. All right, take care, guys.
Take care, Frank.
Take it easy.
Bye now. Sure. I want to thank everybody who came on. Ty Azito, Dr. Chris. Thank you for having me on the show. It was a good show. And thank you.
Okay. Ty?
Hey, to the whole Fight Words crew, it's been a great show. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys. I wish everyone a good week. Bob is our co-pilot. Z.
I'd like to thank you, Ty, Butch, Dr. Chris, Brady, all my Fighting Words family. These shows definitely go out to Bob and Coach Mel. Anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call. Butch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening. You're the greatest listeners in the world. We've asked prayers for many of our staff here that have needed it, and for many, many times, and each time you've come through, we really appreciate you listening, and we really appreciate all you do for us. Again, our numbers were up this month. We were up by another 400, rolling us over to 296,412. So, and we want to say thank you to each and every one of you. These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please let them know you know they're there. These are very tough times, both domestically and foreign. So they really, really appreciate anything you say to them, a wink, a handshake. The best thing you can say is, be safe, my brother or my sister. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman and Officer Chrisman, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longview Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condiff, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough Deputy Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Police Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Artith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Ballard, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, and Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County, Florida, Sheriff's Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time you'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the road's way is out to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the winds befall softly on your fields, rain so softly on your fields, and the winds fall lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your family always in the hallow of his hands. Good night, God bless, and have a great week.
Shemalek ma yelama, shemahezah yelama, sona shene vorat fet, hakuig again ma yelama. Sweet harps play.
Dispatch in 1999. County Dispatch in 1999. County Dispatch in 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.